We have four girls. This child is on the
way. Say it's going to be a boy. So I've been asking the guys at our church who have boys for any advice they got, because I'm excited, but also I don't know how to take care of a boy. So those of you who have boys, pass on your tips to me. We at Myerstown, we came out of an exciting couple weeks. The last 7 weeks, we had 5 young people from our church get married, so we came through a lot of weddings. But it's an exciting time. So that's the context I come to you in. This morning, I want to share something with you that God has been, I've been studying into and looking into actually for a couple months here, and that is connection. Let me start with a story. First off, and just reference somebody who was very influential in my life. And that was one of my school teachers. In 5th and 6th grade, I had a school teacher. His name was Mr. Petrie. And Mr. Petrie was known for his stories. He would often, in the middle of class, a story would hit him, and he would sit on the side of his desk, and he would go into his story. And we as students, we loved it because we got to skip some normal class time and listen to stories. Mr. Petrie had a heart for children, young people. And I was in 5th and 6th grade. I had him for 2 years in a row. And in my 6th grade year, he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. School came fairly easy for me at that time. And he said, "Zach, you're not pushing yourself hard enough. You could push yourself harder." Okay, I'm fine. I'm getting my work done. I'm okay. He's like, "Zach, I think you could memorize all the countries around the world and their capitals." Okay, so he gave me a little incentive for it and encouraged me to do so. And a couple weeks into this studying, this was in addition to all my normal schoolwork, he said, "Hey, by the way, Zach, when you're ready, I'm going to give you a blank map. It's going to have the 7 continents on, and you're actually going to sketch out most of the countries, and then you're going to label all the countries and place the capitals there." I said, "Mr. Petrie, you're funny. You're a good one." He's like, "No, Zach, you can do this." And I spent a lot of time studying, and I was able to do it. At the end of the 6th grade year, he gave me the maps, and I sat down and I did that. And to this day, geography, you can say a country and I can somewhat place it. I'm getting rusty, so don't put me to the test. But for the most part, and it's because of him. He forced me to it. If he wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't know countries around the world like I do today. So I give that credit to him. One day, he came to our church there at Myerstown, and he brought his whole family. And I thought this was the coolest thing. Mr. Petrie came to my church. So I met him afterward, and I took my notebook back, and he had quite a few children. I said, "Hey, Mr. Petrie, what's all your children's names?" And I started writing down all his children's names and their ages. The other people in my class, they were hiding in the corners. Later, they laughed at me. Like, "Why are you talking to Mr. Petrie? He's our teacher." I was like, "What?" I was confused. You see, the reason that I wanted to talk to my teacher is because he invested in me. And I'm sure if you stop in your life and look back, you can think about people who invested in you. And you can point to things in your life that happened, and you give credit to one individual. If this individual wouldn't have done or reached out, or "I'm not sure I would be here," or this or that. You see, he connected with me. Just a little 6th grade boy. Oh, I don't know, he was probably in his 40s. So what's the span of age there? 30 years difference. I'm also a school teacher, and recently I've had some young men reach out to me and say, "Hey, Mr. Zach, can we go out to grab some coffee? I need to chat about life.
Why do they want to come to me? It's because I took time to invest in them.
So this morning, my title of my message is Connecting with the Other Generation. Connecting with the Other Generation. And this week I was trying to discern what the Lord wanted me to share, and I felt led to this. And then I looked at the Sunday school lesson, and it's a similar context. So I'm excited for this morning as we talk about connections with each other. How can we connect with the other generation? And when I say the other generation, how long does a generation last? 20 years, roughly? If you go back and study the different generations, they have names for them. Actually, I'm going to look at it in a little bit. We're going to look at those different generations and what they're named and what they're known for. About every 20 years is a new generation. So as we think about connecting with the other generation, I want you to think about your connections with people about 20 years different than you. So if you feel you're on the older spectrum of life, 20 people 20 years younger than you, if you're right in the middle, maybe both, if you're at the younger side, people 20 years older than you. If I was to ask you now and take time to talk about it, how many people could you list that are 20 years different than you that you feel you could go talk to them about anything in life? In other words, you're connected to them. In my preparation or in my studying into how we connect between the generations, I actually did a little survey about 50 different people across many different areas. And the feedback was interesting. Some said, yeah, I have a couple. A lot said, no, I don't. Because what's the human tendency? We connect with people who agree with us and who are close to us in age. That's our human tendency. And so this morning I want to ask a couple questions. Why the connection? So why is the connection important? And then why the disconnect? What brings about the disconnect? And then I want to look at some things that we can do to help that connection among the generations. So first off, why the connection? Is it important that we're connected with people? And in today's world, we're connected more than ever before. Tongue in cheek. We have resources to message and get a hold of people like we've never had before. So what is real connection then is the question. And as I look at human needs, as I raise my children, I'm seeing needs of belonging and value. As humans, we want to feel belonging. We want somebody to say, yes, that's my person. That's my friend. That's he or she is a part of my family. That makes the human heart restful and at peace when we have that. We want to feel valued. We want to be worth something. Is what I have to offer of any value? Those are the questions that human asks. So as humans ask these questions and they want belonging and value, we get that when there is connection to other humans, through connections. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, 24 and 25, it gives the context of, let's stir each other up to love and let's exhort one another. So in Hebrews, Paul is saying, hey, we need to encourage one another. We need to stir each other up. We need that connection. Okay, so I'm saying connection is important, and we could take more time talking about why it is important. But if humans need it, why is the connection between the different generations important? Why is it important for me to connect with somebody 20 years older than me or 20 years younger than me? In Titus, in our Sunday school lesson today, it shows the importance of that. In Titus 2, it says the older need to be teaching the younger. There needs to be a connection there. In 1 Kings, it says, older wisdom is needed. Proverbs 20:29, it references the glory of old men. What's the glory of old men? The white hair. So I've been using that as the white and gray start to pop out. It runs in the Weaver family, I guess. I reference that verse. You know what? It's okay. It's part of life. The glory of young men in Proverbs 20, what does it reference? Strength. Young men want to be strong. So there it shows the difference between the older and the younger. The older, it's their wisdom, their life experience. The younger, it's their vigor and energy for life. And I've talked to older men and say, man, sometimes I just wish I still had the energy like I did. And younger men say, man, I wish I had that wisdom, the experience. So there again, the differences need to come together for the connection. We can look at the Bible and take a bunch of time observing relationships between different generations. Let me reference a few. Naomi and Ruth. A beautiful story. Mother-in-law says, no, your husbands have died. You're not going to get a husband in the new land. Just stay here. But Ruth said, no. Where you go, I'll go. Obviously, there was some for connection there. I wish there was more to that story. How did Naomi connect with Ruth that made Ruth want to leave her homeland and go with her? I have questions. Mordecai and Esther is another interesting relationship. Mordecai called Esther to do a really hard thing in life. Why did Esther trust him? Obviously, there had to be some for foundation that caused Esther to trust him. Another fun one to observe is Paul and John Mark. Were Paul and John Mark always on speaking terms? No. At the beginning of their missionary journeys, Paul and Barnabas got into an argument. Paul's like, no, John Mark can't come along. Barnabas is like, come on, Paul, he's okay. And they separate ways. Later, at the end of his life, Paul sends a letter and he says, send me John Mark, because I need him. What makes that? Here we have an old guy, Paul, at the end of his life, and he's calling for the younger guy, the guy he disagreed with in the past. As I reference these illustrations, we're asking the question, why is it important? It is. It bridges the gap. The different experiences and the different energy that the younger and older have need to be bridged. Okay? So if you can agree with me, it's important. Why is there a disconnect is the next question. Turn with me here to 1 Peter. I want to reference a verse in 1 Peter as we think about why the disconnect. First Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with, what's the next word? Say it. Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. How many of you, I'd like a raise of hands, how many of you are naturally humble? I better not see any hands. Actually, that would just prove my point. Humans are bent towards a proud heart. That's our human nature. It goes back to that belonging and value. We want to be worth something. And so we think that by standing out above the rest, that shows our worth. Paul says that's not how we connect. We connect. We need to be subject to each other when we are clothed with humility. And so why the disconnect?
Because humans are not naturally bent towards humility. We're naturally bent towards pride. And so we need to overcome that. In my survey, as I was asking people for responses of why the disconnect, a thread or a theme was definitely present. And that was, everyone fears misunderstanding. If I actually say what I think, am I going to be misunderstood? Are they actually going to understand me? So each group, younger and older, vice versa, subtly assumes that the other generation is the bigger problem. Because, the older people, they just don't get me. They just don't understand. Or the younger people, they're crazy. They have way too much energy. And so on. I think the biggest reason for disconnect is humility is needed. Our prideful nature gets in the way. Okay, why the disconnect? What else? I think another thing that definitely affects connection with people different ages than us is our different experiences. For instance, did you ever look at the different generations? I referenced it earlier. Let's take a little time. Back 1946 and before that, anybody know what they were called? They're called the Builders. They experienced the Great Depression. That gives context. And they were known for the generation that was thrifty, respectful, and loyal. That's what that generation was known for, the Builders. Rightly named, I guess. Then comes the 46 to 64, the Boomers. They were an economically influential generation. They came out after the World Wars and things were changing drastically. That's when things were booming, the Boomers. Then we have Generation X from 65 to 79. They were called the Street Smart. They were the no drama type people. They just get things done. That's what that generation was known for. Okay, so we're seeing trends and when the context that people lived in. Okay, Generation Y came next from 80 to 94, somewhere in there. They were the book smart people, tech savvy. Their mantra was fun first, work later. So if you're born in these periods, you might disagree with that. Come on, no, that's not us. I'm just saying, I've been doing some studying. This is the things that were assigned to these generations. Generation Z then, which is the generation I'm in, 95 to 09, they were the social natives, digitally connected generation, 95 to 09. Then you have Generation Alpha from roughly 2010 to 24. They were the most materially endowed. They were the tech gurus. They could be called the screenagers. They didn't know anything else beyond a screen. Know anything. No, that's not a fair term. Their life was all about the screen. And now we have Generation Beta, 2025 and on. What are they going to experience? What are they going to be labeled as? Okay, so why did I take time to look at that? The context that you were born in and raised in greatly affected your outlook on life. And so how does a thrifty, respectful, loyal person bridge the gap with the fun first and work later people? You see a problem here? If there's not humility in seeking to understand the other generation and what they experienced, there's going to be a disconnect. They're going to be at odds. And so I take time to that because I think it's important that we understand each other's stories and context, where they come from. Okay, that's another thing that might bring disconnect. Another thing that might bring disconnect is the stages of life that we go through. And as humans, we respond differently to the different things we face in life. Some of us take it in stride. Some of us, it hits hard. Some of us, life hits personally. How do we respond to the things that happen to us in life? Anthony Hurst, an individual I've spoken with in the past,
has framed it this way. He said, as he is observing men in particular here, he says he's observing them to go through different stages as he's working with men. In the ages of 15 to 30, they're in the searching stage. They're looking for what can I do in the world? And then they reach their 30s to 45, somewhere in there. That's when they reach the savior mentality. And that is, I can conquer anything. I can do anything. I just entered my 30s, and my wife is nervous. Because she said, oh boy, what for ideas are you going to have? Okay? And this doesn't pertain to everybody, but in general. And then, he said, he's observed people, men, in the 45 to 60 range, as they observe life and they think they can knock out the world, then they realize that it's not about them, and the tendency is to become cynical from 45 to 60. And then they start losing energy, and 60 and on to death, they become silent. What's the point? There's no point to it anymore. And Anthony went on to say that as he's observing this, he says, I think this is some of the disconnect that happens between the generations. As they go through these different stages of life, they have energy to tackle the world, and then they try, and if they don't keep their eyes on God, that's when they become cynical and silent. He said, we can overcome that. But that's the human tendency, is to follow these patterns. Okay, stages of life affect the connect. Another thing that I think that affects the connection is our intake. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to just reference a couple verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and I think it's verses 6 or 7. Somebody's smiling. I got it. 6 or 7. Any of you older generation, anybody hear the 6-7 thing going around? A trend, right? Crazy. Well, I was sitting with my 8th graders one day, and as an older person, I said, you know what? I want to connect with them. So they came back from recess, and I said, so all right, let's get cooking. And they flipped the switch. Whoa, 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 you can't use cooking like that. No, you have to use the word cooking this. And then we proceeded into a lesson of them teaching me when I should use the word and when I shouldn't use the word. The intake that the younger generation has is different than the older. And I shake my head. And okay, some of these trends, I think, merit some concern. But we'll leave that discussion for something else. However, if I just shake my head and say, you guys are crazy, why are you using that? There's a disconnect right away. So what I did that math class is I leaned in to my students and I said, all right, teach me. Teach me. I want to know, why do you use this word? And we went back and forth. And then I asked a question. I said, hey, this is good. You guys are teaching me. I teach you. This is great. We're learning together. I said, I've got a question for you. Because I was studying for this connection between generations. I said, so what do you think your generation has to offer? Oh, we have lots to offer. Yeah, we know computers and technology better than our parents. We have so much to offer with that. Okay, all right. I said, do you think your parents have anything to offer? I don't know. And by the way, in this discussion, we were talking about these different, the boomers and the builders and such. They thought I was a boomer. So I had to teach them a little bit and how young I actually was. Finally, one girl in the back piped up and said, so Mr. Weaver, do you think the older generation has anything to offer us? I said, glad you asked.
Thank you for asking. I was waiting for that question. And I proceeded to encourage them, and as I tried to tell them some things, they would react to every comment I made. Everything I said. I said, you're proving my point. You are not even trying to understand me. I said, I just leaned in to trying to understand Cook. And now you can't even let me finish my sentence?
That was one of the best math classes I ever had. We learn from each other. My point with that is the disconnect happens when we don't lean in and realize our intake is sometimes different. Now, to the verse that I pointed out, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Here, it is referencing the commands that God had given the children of Israel. And he says, parents, overcome the tendency to just hammer in the things to your children. But rather, he gives us a way to do it. He says, do it when you're walking, do it when you're sitting, when you're lying down, when you're rising up. All these different places, continually put these things in front of your children. Overcome that tendency of disconnect. And now, I'm going to keep moving on. The last thing I said that I observed in why the disconnect is, as I was hearing back from people, I referenced earlier, the fear of misunderstanding. The questions that came up, will I be judged? Will I be misunderstood? Is it safe to open up? Are we too different that I can't connect? Everyone fears misunderstanding. And each group, older, younger, generally assume the other generation is the greatest risk. My eighth graders that day thought I was the one with the problem. Okay, so we need connection. There tends to be disconnect. In my last minutes here, I just want to encourage you all with three things that we can focus on. How do we connect with each other? And I'll give you some pictures quickly. Engage. I think the first thing we can do as we think about connection with each other is engage. And I want you to get the picture of a clutch. Ivy, I saw you're learning to drive. I saw you pulling into the parking spot. Good job. Hopefully you get to drive manual sometime. I want to see you pulling there with a manual, shifting around. When you think about driving a manual car, before you shift, if you just shift without pushing in the clutch, things are not going to be good. It's not going to sound good. Things are going to grind. You got to push the clutch in. You got to engage it. In connection, we can't just try shifting. We have to engage the clutch first. So as we talk about engage, I want you to get this picture of engaging the clutch. And remember that every generation fears the other. So how can we overcome that? How can we get ready to shift? And that is by being curious, curiosity. Seek to understand. You have to go into conversations and connection opportunities with an attitude of, I want to understand. As I look back in my life, there was many older people who modeled that for me. One is Val Yoder. He was friends with Dad. Val was pretty high on my list of role models. I mean, Dad meets with him. They go to meetings. They organized IGO. They got IGO started. Val was, wow, I want to be like Val. So one day there was a sold out event down in Lancaster. They were got young people together and talking about what IGO is going to be like. And they were there talking. And Dad's like, I really got to go. Zach, could you stay with Val and show him the way home? Because he was coming to our house to stay overnight. Yeah, I get to ride with Val. Sure. Sure, Dad. I knew the way home. And we got in. Dad left and Val finished his talking with people. And we got in the vehicle and started driving home. And Val proceeded to talk all about himself. No, I wouldn't be telling the story if that was the case.
He started asking me questions about my life, about my school, and about what I enjoy about life. Here was this guy that I look up to, and I was a little bit scared to be with him, excited, and he's talking about me.
That is seeking to understand, okay? That's how we engage the clutch between the generations. Another thing we can do as we engage is don't expect or don't build expectations for people. You know what? I just expect that they don't want to talk to me. I expect that they're okay. No. Engaging means taking the time for each other. People need to be heard. That's how they build connection. Older and younger. Another way we engage the clutch is adapt to changes. Stay current to the challenges. One of my quotes for life is, life is a roller coaster, so throw up your hands and scream. That's life. It's up and down. It's the mountaintops. It's the valleys. So why fight it? Just embrace it. So part of adapting to the changes of life and staying current to the challenges, because life is changing rapidly. I wish I could take some time and study history and how fast it has changed, but we'll save that. Recently, I heard of a church who was discussing a small change, like changing the day of the week that they were going to have their midweek prayer service. Not a big deal. But as the younger people were bringing this up, the older people said, no, it's always been on Wednesday night. We can't change it. Absolutely not. What do you hear in that attitude or posture? Do you hear a seeking to understand? No. I'm not saying we should change it or move it. I'm just saying the posture of navigating the changes of life is, okay, so why do you think that way? Or asking questions, seeking to understand. Adapt to the changes. Stay current to the challenges. Life changes. Okay, that's engaging. Seeking to understand. Making sure people feel heard. Adapt to the changes. Secondly, we can encourage. And I'd like to think of a trellis. So engaging was the clutch. Encourage is a trellis. We have a trellis I just had to fix on the side of our shed. We have a plant growing up. I don't even know what it is. Ask Ruth Ann after the service. But it was getting too heavy and it broke. It fell. So I had to put it back up. And actually also this spring I put some posts in our garden and put some wire across so the peas could grow up. Okay? That's a trellis example. It's putting something in place to allow growth to happen. If you want connection between generations, you have to encourage it by putting a trellis. Or in other words, putting activities and things in place to encourage those connections. And that goes beyond just services. It goes beyond the activities that we do as communities, as families. Does it encourage connection is the question. An example I think of this is Marion Zimmerman. Actually, how many years ago did Shenandoah start? It's been many. 16 years ago. Wow. As Shenandoah was starting, the Bible clubs were starting, and Marion Zimmerman was involved in the clubs, and she would come up. She started asking some young girls from church to come along with her. And Ruth Ann specifically remembers those moments. It wasn't as, hey, you got to do this. Hey, Ruth Ann, you want to ride along with me to Shenandoah tomorrow night? I'm headed up for clubs. And through that, Ruth Ann formed a relationship with Marion and also observed her love for art, and that had an influence on Ruth Ann. That little trellis that was put in place allowed the connection to happen. So what trellises can you put in place similar to that? So how do we bridge the gap between the generations? We engage the clutch. We encourage by putting trellises in place. And last off, we can induce. I thought about using the analogy of inducing into labor, but I thought I would give too many ladies PTSD. So we're going to go with induce is prune. I want you to think about pruning fruit trees. How do you get the good fruit? You got to trim. You got to take off some things so that the best is left behind. And as we think about undo someone, I want you to think about the word humility. I want you to go back to that humility posture. We can induce connection by focusing on our vision and our mission and our purpose. So how do we do that? Let's go back to that the church, you know, who was navigating the changing the service from one day to the other. I heard of an older man from that church who said, you know what? If we want the people, the young people in our church to own the church, we need to go along with some of our ideas, their ideas, so that they feel part of it. Wow. That was an older man with a vision and a purpose. Because it wasn't just about doing it because it's just the way we've done it. It was about how can we make the church feel a part of it? And sometimes you have to go along with some ideas. I'm not suggesting that we start changing our theology, no. But there's little things in community settings that, you know what, we can adapt, we can change so that people feel a part of it. You know what? I want a part of this. So focused on our purpose. What is our purpose? Or do we go off on our own tangents of what we think is important? Second thing is we think about inducing and pruning. As humans, sometimes we have to release our control. And I'm experiencing this now in working with my children as they come to me with requests. Sometimes it's things I just don't want to do. Maybe it's going somewhere. Nothing wrong with it. I just don't feel like doing it. I don't have the energy to. But if I have their best in mind, I'm gonna lean into that. As I observe this connecting between the generations, and as I observe myself, I see that people can easily hide a desire for control in a cloak of conviction. Let me say that again. People can easily hide a desire for control in a cloak of conviction. So let's go back to that, the church changing the day of the week. So what if I say, no, God told me in my prayer that it needs to be on Wednesday night. And if it changes to Thursday night, that's my conviction. I think we should have a talk on what convictions are, maybe. You see my point? And so because I want to control, because I think that prayer meetings should stay on Wednesday night, I cloak it in, it's a conviction. But actually, subtly underneath, it's I want to control. And so, as my children come to me with requests, I just want to control them. If I have that attitude, but I cloak it in a, no, you know what, I give other excuses to cover my, I just want to control. How we induce connection is release our control sometimes in our power. That's part of connecting. And lastly, we need to end our time, posture. Your posture is huge in pruning. And our posture, changing your posture is hard work. Did you ever work at changing your posture? Anybody ever tell you a bad posture? Yeah, I've had that. Sorry, you need to sit up straight. I remember keyboarding class, my teacher, no, you need to sit like this. And she was actually right. Now, because now I'm on my computer some, and that comes up to me. And if I put my hands in the right place, my wrists don't get sore for the day. But man, that's hard work to change a bad habit. You need to put in the work to really thinking about your posture in your conversations. So it's less about changing the structures and more about changing our attitude in it. How do we approach people? How do we seek to understand them? What do they see in our posture? Do they see us leaning in or do they see us crossed arms? Our tone of voice says a lot when we do that. Okay, we can engage We can encourage, we can engage with the clutch, we encourage with the trellis, we induce by pruning. And I trust if we focus on those things, we can bridge the gap. And we can have some more Naomi and Ruth, Mordecai and Esther, Paul and John Mark connections. Because that's how the church will flourish. That's how the church will grow. So my question that I leave with you is, how are you connecting with the other generation? It's needed. It's important. Let's lean into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us to connect with others. And we need it. And our human tendency is to put up arms. Our human tendency is to have fear about what other people think. But I pray that we could lean in to connection with other people, valuing what they have to offer, thinking about our posture as we connect with them. And may there be good connections as we stir each other to love and exhort one another. Thank you for our time here this morning. Continue to be with our time as we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.